All right. Today, we've got an incredible interview. We've got the host of the Thrive Time Show podcast. Colton, are you excited for this interview coming up here?
I feel like this is like the grand culmination. Like it's the great buildup. It's the Super Bowl. You know, you got all the games, the standard games, you got the playoffs, you got all this stuff. And then finally, we have made it.
The Super Bowl. Yep. So we've got the host of the Thrive Time Show podcast, the former Oklahoma Young SBA Entrepreneur of the Year, the founder of several multi-million dollar businesses, father of five kids, author, artist, and our mentor. Please welcome to the show, Clay Clark.
Woo!
Greetings. Welcome, Clay. Yes. Welcome.
Hey, I appreciate you guys carving out time for me.
Oh, man, we are so excited. Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this amazing day, getting to talk to the one and only Clay Clark. Clay, we've talked about your F7 goals now pretty much on every single show. Your name has come up every single week on the Alpha Dad show. You've been a huge influence to both Andrew and I. But across the F7 stuff here, you know, you got fitness, you got faith, you got all these things. And it seems like there's people that have kind of zeroed in on one or the other. You know, they're super fit, but maybe they're dropping the family ball. They got this, they got that. You've really done a great job of scheduling. You got your to-do list, you got your calendar, you've done all the F6, and now you're able to be one of the few people we can actually talk to about the seventh one here, the focus side of things. Talk to us a little bit about focus. What is this focus? Yeah. And what is this, the seventh F?
And let me do this real quick, just so that we're clear. I just want to be super direct with your listeners. When you have like your F6 goals or your F7 goals or whatever they are, it's whatever you schedule gets done. As I look at my life and you look through pictures and look through credit card statements and journals and stuff, there's been times in my life where I've blocked out more time for certain areas. So just to be very blunt with you, you know, today I look at my calendar. I'm not distracted. I'm just pulling up my calendar so I can comment on it. But I'll get my calendar today. And today, you know, after we hop off this great show here, I'll be doing a client consultation. And then after that, I have an interview and an interview. And as I look at it, there's a lot of interviews that I don't want to do on my schedule today. And in fact, almost all of the interviews that I'm doing today, I don't want to do. But I feel like I have to do it to help save our country for this time. But I like, as far as people who know me through like the Reawaken tour, or I don't like politics, I don't like religious discussions, and I spend most of my day doing those things. So I think the first thing is you have to look at your schedule and ask yourself what you have to do, not what you want to do. So you got to be intentional about it. So you schedule time. So I happen to want to be on today's show because you're talking about subjects that I'm interested in, but I really don't want to talk about CERN or Jake Sullivan or whatever's going on geopolitically, because I have no interest in the subject at all, but I have to block out time for it. So you talk about your faith. I'm actually interested in faith right now. So I do block out time, and I did block out time. Today I'm, you know, plowing through the book of Amos and a couple other things just because I do want to know what Zechariah and Amos and had to say about what's happening right now. So I blocked that, but I want to know what's going on, but it's not exciting for me. So you talk about your faith, your family. I actually enjoy hanging out with my family between the hours of 6 and 9. So faith and family. Finance. I enjoy finances. I enjoy growing companies. It's fun to me. So faith, family, finance, fitness. There was a time when I was, I'd say before we had our first two kids, I'd block out 2 hours every day and go work out because that's what I did. But I never read the Bible ever under any circumstance ever. And so, you know, if I were to say to you that to me, the Bible is the most important thing in my life, then if you look at my calendar, you should see that I've scheduled the most time for that activity. So what I'm saying is, if you're listening today, you got to think about what are your goals for your faith, your family, your finance, your fitness, your friendships, and fun, and block out time for those things. And I don't believe in life balance. I believe in life focus, which is the seventh F, focus time. So I know of a man in my life right now, I won't mention his name, that for some reason, at the age of 50, he's into fitness like never before. And he's really into it. It's great and it's exciting. But if you looked at his schedule, you would say that he's spiritually not at all. And he doesn't go to church, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't care. And I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying he's clearly focused on that. So again, if you look at your schedule, faith, family, finance, fitness, friendship, fun, schedule time for all the things that matter to you and know that whatever you don't schedule time for isn't going to get done. And then this final one, this final area is focus. You know, where do you want to give your focused attention to? You know, so right now, you know, where do you want to give your focus to? You know, Colton, what are the things, and what do you not want to give your focus to? And it's really important that you're intentional about this stuff. And this all has to manifest or show up as time blocks in a calendar, or it's all meaningless.
So good.
That's so good. It has to all be practical. It has to be on a schedule or it doesn't get done. And, you know, over the years, I've kind of seen the F7 goals go from F5 to F6, F7 over the kind of the past 8 years that you've been my mentor. It's kind of grown. And now it's so cool to see the F7. You know, I get to see, you know, Clay, how you have it on your schedule every day. You've got, you know, during, like you said, there's certain times where you don't have fitness on the schedule because right now the number one thing is, you know, faith or focus, right, or family or whatever it is. And so I've kind of got to see it evolve over time, which has been really cool. And the secret F, or the seventh F, was probably, I think, the more recent one. I think fun was added and then focus was added. And I think it's probably, there's seven of them. So I think it's perfect. I think we've got all seven Fs. I don't think there's any more out there. I think we've got them all now.
We got,
I think,
all it's the perfect. Fs.
Well, that's right.
So it's talking about how you have to have schedule time for fun, and just, you know, that's where the sixth F got added. Yeah. We do these business conferences every 2 months, and for years, since 2005, I've talked about the F5, and Z's like, well, how come we don't have fun in there? And I'm like, no, we'll schedule time for fun. Now, Z, if you look at Dr. Zellner, that's drzellner.com. He runs Oklahoma's largest optometry clinic. He runs the state's largest auto auction. I've worked with him for a long time. He really likes fun. So if you look at his schedule right now, and I'm not exaggerating, if you were to look at his schedule, I have to assume he's going to watch this. I bet you that 60% of his schedule is fun. Like, if you look at his calendar, maybe more. It might even be 80%. It could even be 90%. It might even be 95%. And so you talk about fitness. I don't know that he goes to the gym. I don't think he schedules time for that. You talk about faith. I know he schedules time to read the Bible.
Yep.
Friendships. I know he does friendships and fun. That's the same activity for him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Finances. I know he tends to the garden to make sure his businesses are all growing.
Yep.
Friendships. So faith, family, finance, family. I know he schedules a lot of time, and he views family and fun as one activity. Mm-hmm. Again, when I first met him, it was all work.
It was that just homeboy work.
Yeah. He worked 7 days a week. So when I met him, I was 18 years old. And it's kind of crazy, but he's on the verge of turning 60, and I'm 44. So I'm turning 44 in November. So there's a 16-year age gap there. You know, so when I was 18, he was 34 years old, and he literally worked 7 days a week. Seven days a week. And that's what he did. And people said, well, he looks pretty healthy. Well, he never ate. He just would work. He's running around on his feet all day.
And I think that's a superpower. You know, Andrew, I talk about we almost look at these like little statues that are like the alpha dad. It doesn't really exist. It's kind of this ethereal creature. It, you know, it's not really a thing, but that somebody that's mastered all F7, you know, it's not really a thing, but saying it is, you know, that's, you know, set aside to somebody that's got their faith completely intact. Somebody that's completely fit, you know, they're shredded. They got the full six pack thing going on. Somebody that's got all F7 here is a thing, but like setting that to the side, I think there's times where you need to be able to just zero in on something and the ability to hyper-focus. I have a 2-year-old right now, and you know, when he's getting dressed, undressed, we're potty training, you know, like I get him dressed, undressed. A lot of times as we're like putting his pants on or something, he's like singing and kind of over here, and then he's falling doing this stuff. And I'm like, hey, focus, buddy. Like this is the one thing I want you thinking about right now, getting your pants on. Put your pants on. And here's my question. A lot of people, they don't realize, like they're like my son trying to put his pants on. They don't realize the most important thing needs to get done in that time. Like if they're absolutely broke, all their decisions are made about finances, and they're watching Netflix 8 hours a day or something, they need the ability to shift and focus on that finance until it's done. How do you kind of select those things? And then how do you shift into that focus mode and do what needs to get done when it needs to get done?
You talk about the word alpha. What does the word alpha mean? It might be, you know, like the highest rank or dominant or whatever. You know, I would argue the alphas. I have yet to meet a person who created anything that isn't an alpha. You have to be an alpha. Yeah. And I'm just telling you crazy alpha things that are true in my life. I'm not saying this makes me a good husband. I'm just telling you what it is. When we got married, I made the decision. I talked to her about it. I'm like, I am never going to change a diaper ever.
Not happening.
There's somebody watching and right now, you're a horrible person. It's fine. But I said, but you will never have to work ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. If you want to, you can. But and here's how it's going to go. if I ever call you and ask you to help me at the business, you can ask me to help you with the diapers, but I won't ever call. And so, because I was focused on building an income, and for people out there that don't know, I was working at Applebee's, Target, and DirecTV when we first met. Then when we got first married, so we're at this point, we're 20 years old, you know, and I bought a house, built the house from scratch, you know, from foundation up when I was 20 years old. Wow. Massive entertainment company. So I was 24-ish. I think we had 40, you know, DJs or employees at that time. When I was 24, 25, you know, I was, but how did I do that? Well, I wasn't changing diapers. And I never, ever, ever was available during the day to ever help out. I just refused to help during the day. And I was working with, and people are like, you're horrible. I don't care what you think. This is just my life. I'm telling you. But then when I came home, I was super on the spot. I'll be happy to help feed the kids. I'll go to the store. I'll get groceries. I'll do whatever. But between the boundaries of my work day, I'm just not going to be interrupted. And so that's what I did. And so people would look at me. They would come to my wife and I. They were, you know, people who are 35. And we're 25. And they're like, man, you guys have multiple kids and you got a big house and your businesses are booming. How did you do it? And Vanessa's like, well, he never helped with the diapers and he worked all the time and I never, you know, got involved with the business. It was just, so you have to like, and whether you think that's fair or nice or good or terrible, whatever, it's the decision that we made. And so, you know, so again, you look at your F7, that's a great way. It's an exercise every morning to ask yourself, where are you going to spend your time? And it has to manifest itself or turn itself into, or it has to be turned into time blocks on a calendar. I cannot overestimate this. If you're saying today, I want to get in shape. Woo! Ric Flair. Great. Then when are you going to do it? And you have to block out time. You know, right now I'm finishing my 34th book. It's my 34th book. I know this because I was working with Devin the other day to update the webpage. And you now on you, when you go to thrivetimeshow.com and you go to the shopping cart to buy a book at thrivetimeshow.com and you go to the shopping cart, you have to hit tab over, which means there's more than 33 books. So all I'm saying is, but it doesn't mean I'm great. It just means that I block out time to block out time to write books, which means how many hours does it take to write a book? I'll tell you. Okay. So okay. Colton, 34 books. Okay.
Yep.
And you take a look at those 34 books and you multiply that on average by 300 hours. Okay.
Okay.
So like 8 full work weeks for most people.
Yep.
That means I spent 10,200 hours writing books. Approximately.
It's a couple hours.
Approximately. It's probably more than that.
Okay? 10,000 hours. You got your 10,000 hours in.
Also, right. I've done 3,000 completely original podcasts without any, without samples or clips or anything. So again, where did that time go? Well, that went right there. Okay. Yep. So if you 10,200 hours, if I took those 10,200 hours and took that to the gym, what would I look like? What books would I have not have written?
Yeah.
So, and you're just going to figure out there's different times in your life where different things matter to you. But what you got to do today is listen to today's show and say, where do you want to spend time with your faith, your family, your finance, your fitness, your friendship, your fun? Now, to give you an extreme example, then I'll stop talking. Dr. Z once told me, he said, I really didn't speak to my kids until they were about 7. Wow. And I go, talk to them. He's like, well, there's no point. They wouldn't remember it anyway. So I just I work 7 days a week. And no, I'm being real. And he said this during shows. He's like, you know, I never even really talked to them. I just work 7 days a week. And then, never. Like, I never went to the games, never went to practice, nothing, not available. Mm. But then when they were like 7, 8, I was at everything. You know why? Because I don't work.
Mm.
So,
that's the balance there, right?
I don't know what the balance. I don't even know. I'm just saying it is what it is.
It's a life balance, like not necessarily in any given season, but if you extrapolate that over the course of a life, I guess, you know, that's hyper focused to the extreme.
Andrew, you know this. He'll randomly show up at the office and he'll look as though, you know, he doesn't have anywhere to be, and it's because he's designed a life. But that guy was working 7 days a week and he was very intentional. And he had thought about it. He was like, you know, if you look at kids and when their memories are formed, most kids typically don't remember anything before the age of whatever. So I'm just not going to be involved. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's just, it sounds horrible, but it's real. It's real.
Well, wow. instead of elongating the amount of time that he's working and grinding and like putting in all the effort, he did it all in the beginning. So that way the rest of his life, he could spend doing whatever he wanted to. So, and he like Colton was saying, in large chunks, it's life balance, but in massive chunks, not day to day or week to week, it's life balance. So yeah. Huge. But anyway, so we've got the F7 goals, and the secret 7F of focus. What is your focus? What is it that you are focusing on right now?
Saving America. Mm. Nothing else matters to me. Like my family and my kids, everything's much, much lower on the priority than saving America.
Mm. Yeah, number one. That's great.
If we don't save America, then nothing matters. I mean, so for anybody out there, I mean, I met a lady in Venezuela who came to our second Reawaken America Tour event. She was Miss Venezuela, whatever year it was. And mm-hmm. she talked about her dad was a doctor. Her mom did something or other. And the day that it flipped into communism, she said they debased or devalued the dollar. And basically her family was hunting through dumpsters for food within the week.
Mm. It's wild. And they
started confiscating people's homes and properties. So
wow.
That's where my focus is. So so every day I wake up every day, I probably spend 80% of my day on Project Save America. Like I mentioned to you guys, doing interviews mm-hmm. that I don't want to do. Like I did in this interview, like I love Rudy Giuliani. I like him. I like to talk to him, but think about the show I just did this morning. Bill Maher talked radio personality. He said during an interview, he said, pro-lifers, I'm quoting, they think abortion is murder. And it is. I'm just okay with it.
Oh, whoa.
He said, they think abortion is murder, and I'm okay with that. Mm. And then he goes on to say, we won't miss you. And he goes on to advocate for the murdering of children.
That's and he insane. That.
Then Yuval Noah Harari did a crazy interview the other day, and he said, what do we do with billions of useless humans? What do we even need so many humans for? Mm. And that is the last person that said those things out loud. Last persons were, you know, the Marxists,
yep.
Stalinists, Leninists, Maoists, and Hitler. Mm-hmm. And so these people are back. And so that's where my focus is. So I don't really schedule any time for fun at all. Yep. Zero.
Okay.
0% of my time is fun right now. Zero. Nothing. Spend time with family from 6 to 9. You know, finances, it really doesn't matter to me. I mean, I have budgets and systems, but I'm not focused on it. Friendships, don't really care about that either right now. So really my F7 is probably down to like an F2 right now. Maybe an F.
Yeah. Maybe a single focus. It's focus.
It is. A single that's F. It. Because that's, I mean, there's very few people willing to do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it nonstop.
And from my understanding, when I hear your story, you were on the F5, you know, crushing it. You were talking to business owners. You have 160 different businesses that you work with actively that you're, you know, part owner and you're actively working in them. And then you started watching the direction of the country shifting. And that's when all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're going to put everything else on the back. Like, I think when Michelangelo like made the David statue or, you know, the Sistine Chapel, he wasn't really focused on anything else. Like that's what he was doing. He's like, I am doing this thing. It's going to leave a mark on the world here. Would you say when you shift into that seventh thing, that seventh F, that hyper-focus mode, that's kind of the, like, I'm going to leave an imprint on this world. Is that kind of the mission there? Is that the thought process behind it? Or is it just the ship's going down, we're throwing everything off and we got to like get this thing done.
I don't think anyone will know who I was. I'm not trying to leave a I'm not trying to leave a legacy. Someone out there could disagree with me, but I don't think anybody will know who I was. I don't think anybody knows who my grandfather was, and he only died 50 years ago. I don't think it's possible to leave a legacy. I don't think anybody will remember me. I think about my grandfather, you know, my kids have no idea who he was. And their kids will certainly have no idea. So all I'm trying to do is just save America. I don't think people recognize we are within moments of it ending. Like we are within moments of it ending. We're not like in the distant future. We're very, 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 very close to it ending. And if we weren't, I wouldn't be involved. But when I met with all these people, I knew they were going to do lockdowns, quarantines, curfews. And I knew all that. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll do what I can. So I'll meet the mayors, meet the governors, meet the congressmen, try to stop it. But they didn't stop it. And so now that's where my focus is. So I literally wake up every day and I think to myself, okay, what can I do to save America? So right now, Rudy Giuliani used to be America's mayor, great guy. Mm-hmm. Might be a good guest for your show at some point. Just a wonderful man. But Rudy, he now has they've lost. He's almost lost his entire life savings. And they're trying to take every single dollar from him. He had to go into bankruptcy to save his two houses. And this guy's in his 80s. You know, I mean, I don't think people recognize where we're at right now. Like the Romans kept their population occupied with the circus. And then they, while they were rounding up Christians and murdering them. So I'm just saying, I think that's where we're at right now. And so, in the Bible, it talks about Nehemiah, where you have to build the wall and fight. So I still build my businesses and build the businesses of my clients. I still do that. But I also recognize that none of that matters at all if we don't save our country. And I think that people think that they're going to be able to carve out their own little prosperous world in a communist country. It's not going to happen. By the way, let me tell you what happened in Venezuela. If you had gold, if you had silver, they said, we want it. And you go, great, sounds like a good deal. So I don't think you can carve out a prosperous existence in a dystopian communist world. So I'm trying to stop that. And so I'm blocking out time for that. But back to your show and your focus here, I think everybody out there, whether you agree with what I'm saying or not, that's fine. You got to block out time for the F7, because if you don't block out time for fitness, it's not going to happen. If you don't block out time for family, it's not going to happen. If you don't block out time. So even though I want to save America, I do cut off my day at a certain time, and then I spend that time with family. You know, and again, you just got to block out time for what matters. And if you don't block out time for these things, they just won't get done.
So good.
So good. That's great. Well, you've got 33 books now. So out of all those 33 books, if someone was to go out and buy one of them, which book should they go out and get today?
I think your audience would probably benefit the most from a Millionaire's Guide to Becoming Sustainably Rich. You know, my whole goal was to be a millionaire before I was 30, and I did it. And the thing about, there's two kinds of people out there. There's intrapreneurs and there's entrepreneurs. So intrapreneur works within an organization, which allows them to focus on, you know, creating revenue, but they don't have to typically deal with all of the tax returns, all the legal obligations, all the insurance, all of the late night conversations, all of the emotions of that. That's an intrapreneur. They work within an organization. Then there's an entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, you go out and you start with nothing. You also often come home with nothing or less than nothing. You end up working all the time. And most entrepreneurs, I'm not saying this to be depressing, I'm just being real. Most entrepreneurs I know get divorced, and they usually figure it out on their second or third marriage. And it's because it's really hard to be married to somebody who loses money and works all the time. It's just very hard to have. You don't have the benefits of them working all the time, and they don't make money. You know, so it's all that. So if you're wanting to avoid a lot of the minefields, and you want to learn proven systems and strategies, if you go and you buy the book, A Millionaire's Guide to Becoming Sustainably Rich, and that book really does help you, and it's a proven path. And if you want to download all the books for free, you can go to thrivetimeshow.com/millionaire, thrivetimeshow.com/millionaire. And then we have our workshops every 2 months. And so, and again, I'm not judging people. I'm just telling you, Tim Tebow is going to be speaking at our next one on June 27th and 28th. And Tim Tebow is a guy who clearly focuses his time on fitness.
Yep.
Great job. He clearly focuses his time on his philanthropy. I mean, he's a guy who's really, so his focus is on fitness. His focus is on family. His focus is on faith, finance. But you won't see Tim Tebow getting involved in political events. I'm not judging the man. I'm just telling you, he is clearly defined what he will and will not participate in. You're going to see Colton Dixon. He clearly has focused on his music. He's focused on his family, his faith, his finances, his friendships. But you're not going to see him talk about politics. You're going to see Sean Baker, who Colton, you and your team there, you guys have interviewed him multiple times. He's the carnivore diet guy. Sean Baker, I mean, he clearly has a focus on meat. So he has
ribeyes.
His focus is fitness, though. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
He talks about it a lot, but you're not going to see him do podcasts about faith. And I'm not judging the man. You're just not going to. John Lee Dumas, he's one of the top podcasters in America. You're not ever going to really see him talk about anything other than optimizing your business and your fitness. He doesn't talk about faith. He doesn't really talk about politics. He doesn't. So that's why I bring so many different people to the conference who are all experts in their own lane. And my marching orders for anybody out there is, again, get out a calendar. What? Yeah, get out a calendar. A calendar? Yeah, get out a calendar.
do you care what kind of calendar or any kind of calendar, like a sundial? What are we talking about here? What's the best calendar?
I think it's important that you print it out every day and that your calendar dictates where you're going, because even in my marriage, my life, my office, Andrew sees it, but people will come in and go, do you have a minute? And if I'm not careful, I'll say yes, and then I'll forget that I have a meeting going on right now. So I have to have that calendar printed out. It's like a dashboard. So I like to make a Google calendar, then I print it out every day, a Google calendar, then I print it out the other day. And my daughter, you know, she's 20 years old, so she's starting to take on more responsibilities. And, you know, she's finding that, oh, I got to check my calendar. And she'll check and she'll go, oh, I've already committed to volunteering. She likes to volunteer at ministries. So she's like, oh, I'm already going to be here. I can't be there, Dad. I wanted to, but I can't. Or I'm going to go on a date with her boy. You know, she's going to go on a date with her boyfriend. So she can't come to this because she's there. And so really, you got to every day, these three steps, you got to get up every day, get out your calendar every single day and design your day and think about how do you want your day to be. Every day is a gift from God, but what you do with it is a gift to God. Every single day is a gift from God, but what you do with it is a gift to God. And remember, being present is a present. So don't just be physically present, but not mentally present. And don't be mentally present, but not physically present. You have to do both at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you get up every day, you design your schedule that you like, you think about your trade-offs, your trade-ups you're going to make for the life you want, schedule time for faith, family, finance, fitness, friendship, fun, measure, aim, get ready. And then when the day starts, just go. And so today, I'm jumping into two interviews later today that I don't want to be on, but I chose to be on them, and I don't want to be on them. And I don't want to talk about depopulation, but I need to. Some of you out there, you're going to say, I'm going to block out time to change diapers with my kids. Cool. You block out time to change diapers with your kids.
Yeah.
You might not want to do it. Fine. But block out time for it and don't complain about it, because you have to design the life you want to live.
God, it's so good, Clay. So Clay, I'm fired up. And it's so real. And, you know, like, you're able to hyper-focus on this right now with Save America. You're able to do these interviews that you don't want to do, but they need to get done. Because you got other stuff taken care of. You got these other, you know, boxes. You know, if you're absolutely broke as a joke, you can't go out and have that much of an impact on saving America. And so if you're out there listening right now and you're like, man, I need to get my business in taken care of. I need my finances to be taken care of. I need to figure this stuff out. I've never seen it. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. My parents have, you know, I was a first grader going door-to-door sales. My parents raised me to be an entrepreneur. That was my life ambition. I've never been to a seminar. I've never been to a training. I've never been to a conference. I've never been to anything in my life where there wasn't some massive upsell on the back end of it. Hey, buy your $10,000 program. There wasn't some crazy thing. Yours is the only conference I've ever been to that's like practical Q&A, you know, nitty gritty, getting into it, you know, and the real practical steps of what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. If you're looking to really zero in on your finances right now, you got to come to the business conference in June, and you got to start listening to the Thrive Time show on the podcast side. If you want to hear the Save America stuff, you got to go to Rumble. But if you want to get the actual like business stuff, go to Apple Podcasts, go to the podcast spaces, but go to thrivetimeshow.com, get your tickets to this event, get to your how to become sustainably rich millionaires guide by Clay Clark. There's no other person out there as practical and as detailed as Clay on what it takes to be successful. Clay, thank you for joining us today on the Alpha Dad Show. You are a true Alpha Dad, and we're so thankful that you're in our life and that you're our mentor.
Hey, I want to just say one thing real quick here before you have to hang up on me. I work with Andrew. I get a chance to see Andrew every day, and I feel like that Andrew has done a phenomenal job blocking out time for his wife, blocking out time for his – I can't say this about you, Colton, because I'm not around you enough. But Andrew does a great job blocking out time for his wife, blocking out time to be with his kids. He does a great job with that. And as men, we're called to provide for and to protect our families. We're called to provide for them and to protect them. I'm sorry, I'm getting blurry right now. Internet connection problem. But again, the thing is that we're called to do that. And I think Andrew does a phenomenal job of that in a world where very, very few men do that. So if you do block out time to care for your family and to provide for them, we're in a world that's going to attack you for providing for your family and protecting your family. And so no matter what the world says, get into the Word of God, read the Bible, see how the Bible says we're supposed to treat our wives and our family and how we're supposed to provide. And remember, the book of 1 Timothy tells you that he who cannot provide for his own family is worse than a non-believer. So get out there and work 6 days a week, both in Genesis and Exodus. It tells you to work 6 days a week. That's a concept in the Bible. And in 1938, FDR and his lesbian wife, they rolled out the 40-hour work week. That's an FDR thing. FDR, yep, a socialist president, yeah, and a lesbian wife, they rolled out the concept of a 40-hour work week in 1938. But the Bible in Genesis and in Exodus, it tells, yep, us to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. So read the Bible and reject FDR and his lesbian wife.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new 4-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Andrew, we've made it to the end of the show. One of my favorite parts, and that is the reaction stuff. Andrew, you ready for this?
We made it. Oh, I'm so ready. It's my favorite part of the show. I love it.
Man, and I so love that excited. Clay Clark stuff. Man, he gave you quite the kudos there at the end of that interview there, man. That was, Clay's thin on the compliments, but he really laid him out there for you. That's like Clay's biggest compliments he can give somebody.
It was, no, and I greatly appreciate it. He's been a mentor of mine for, I think, about 8 years now. So he's made a huge impact on my life and really shaped who I am today. So I greatly appreciate him.
He was talking about this business conference coming up. And there was a conference that happened last weekend. And I'll be honest with the audience here. I didn't want to react to it. We were actually asked to react to this because we're alpha dads. We're Christian men in the Christian men's space speaking to Christian men. And there's a Christian men's conference that happened last weekend, almost 8,000 men in attendance. And it started, you got different ways you can start a conference. You can start, with national anthem. You can close your head in prayer. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different ways you can start it. This men's conference chose to start a unique way. We'll play this and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Let's go ahead and play. How did they start this men's, the Stronger Men's Business Christian Men's conference? How did they start this thing? Taking his shirt off.
Oh my gosh.
Christian Men's Conference.
Whoa.
Oh no.
It's so bad.
He's got the sword.
Oh my gosh, no. Who thought this was a good idea?
That's what I want to know. That's my big question. Oh, stabbing him. With even the red, the lighting with the red, it's just
ominous music. Like, it wasn't an accident. Lick the sword. The music that you chose.
Lick the sword, dude. Lick the sword.
No.
All right.
What in the world?
Okay, so that's how they started the men's conference. Okay, here's what you need to know about this man. He is a former stripper, like a legitimate, got paid to strip. And at a Christian men's conference, he took his shirt off, ascended a pole, and then impressively put a sword down his throat. Andrew, what are your thoughts? Is this alpha? Is this Christian? Is this manly?
No, this is like, first of all, someone had to think about this. Like, somebody actually thought about this. A group of people thought about this and decided that this was to have a stripper open a Christian masculine men's conference.
Yep.
Or former stripper, whatever. But somebody had to think about this. And it's not just that maybe someone could use the excuse of like, oh, he's just showing masculinity and his muscles and, whatever. But he's absolutely not. Like the motions that he was doing with the pole, with the sword, like you don't lick a sword.
No.
Like it's
weird. Very gay. It's gay.
And very gay.
And in a world right now, okay, this is like I had a business mentor a while back that was talking about he doesn't drink alcohol. He's never had a problem with alcohol. It never was a thing. He says he doesn't drink alcohol because for this one reason really alone. It's because if he's ever in a room and there's somebody that's an alcoholic and they're struggling, he doesn't want to be the source of a temptation for them. And as you know, right now, 30%, Andrew, I don't know if you know this or not, but 30% of Gen Zs self-declare as LGBTQ. 30%. When we were growing up, when we were young men, the generations above us, preceding us, was like less than 10. And then it got up to like 14, 15. And then also now it's skyrocketed to 30%. We're on a vertical exponential growth curve.
Yeah.
In the worst way of LGBTQ being rampant. And it's not just rampant in you know, the normal, you know, in the world, it's rampant with even the Christian community. Men that are struggling with porn is one of the most common struggles that men, you know, fight on a daily basis in private. And that's how they chose to open up the conference. And I think there's a story behind the guy that he's a Christian now and all. And you know, kind of beside the point here, like there's different standards. How far from the cliff's edge do you want to be of morality? If the cliff's edge is over there and you're like, well, you have to justify it and go through all the stuff. And Andrew, you mentioned, you know, some like a group of people thought about this. You've run all kinds of different conferences. You've been helping Clay with these business conferences now for a long time. All the strategy that goes into it. There's an agenda. There's timesheets. There's thought process. There's throwing out ideas. That's a bad idea. And there's changing it around. And you guys have done fun stuff. It's not you can't have fun. You guys have llamas at your business conferences. You guys have had
helicopters. We've had fire breathers. Like, we've had a ton of different stuff. Fire breathers. We have mariachi bands. We've had a rotisserie pig being cooked as you walked past the mariachi band, petted the llama, and walked out to your helicopter ride. That has actually happened at one conference. But
that's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of fun. You can have a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with fun. But we've never sat down and thought through having a gay stripper or having a stripper at the business conference. But somebody sat down and thought about that and said, that is a good idea to have a stripper open us and then to swallow a sword in front of 8,000 people. Somebody had that idea and I don't know what they were thinking.
You know, I'm less concerned with the fact somebody had that idea because there's always crazy ideas. And I think you can't get to a good idea without coming up with some crazy ideas. But in the midst of that, there should have been some leadership there that said, yo, let's hold the reins. Let's pull back. Let's think about this. What are we doing? How far from the cliff's edge of morality are we wanting to get? And they didn't. And, you know, we're reacting to this video now. We're not the only people. This is a very viral video. A lot of people reacting to this. A lot of people talking about this. But the next day at the conference, somebody did react to it. Somebody talked about it and it called it out. And let's kind of watch this, but then also watch the reaction from the head pastor. He gets up and says some stuff afterwards. Let's watch the second part here.
Let's see it.
This is Mark Driscoll, Pastor Mark Driscoll.
I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you and my heart is very burnt for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce.
And you hear the response. Men are like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're into it. Yeah. He's doing a great job being gentle, too.
Shirt off. Like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club.
They agree, yeah.
They're being rebuked, yeah. They feel it.
See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends.
Mm-hmm.
And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus Christ. Okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that.
Pause, Avery. Can you pause for a second?
Thank you.
All right. So, I don't know if you can hear it or not.
What happened there? Yeah.
So the pastor of the church, his name's John Lindell, and he's about to get up in just a second and share some stuff here. But John Lindell sitting on the front row and he says, "You're done, Mark." And he says, "You're out of line, Mark. You're out of line. You're done." And he shuts him down. And Mark listened. He's like, okay, I'm out. I'll hear that. I was given an open rebuke because I felt like this was a public thing. And he stops his rebuke. Okay. Continue playing. This is John's response.
Wow, listen to the crowd.
They did not like it. It almost sounds like a war room. Ah!
Yeah.
Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, go to him privately.
It's almost embarrassing the way he got up there and how angry he was. Like, he couldn't even, like, process or think through. He was just blasting out anger and rage because somebody called him out, because somebody said that this is wrong. And he didn't do a bad job at all and he wasn't even really rebuking anybody particularly. He wasn't saying, you, John, are like a horrible person, like you need to fix this. He was just trying to, honestly, it sounded like he was trying to apologize for the 8,000 men that were there that came to learn more about God that had to sit through that. And his reputation, he was almost apologizing because his reputation was on the line. He was speaking at a conference that promoted that. And he was almost apologizing is what it sounded like. And we didn't get to hear what he had to say because he got pulled off of stage. So it was, I think, props to him for the way he handled it with gentleness.
Yep.
And then it's just almost sad to watch the anger of the pastor, like how he reacted and how he just tried to control the situation and had almost didn't have any coherent thoughts. He was just blasting out scripture that thought would justify his point. And you hear the crowd in the background, just angry rage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can't imagine being that guy with 8,000 angry, like, men there upset at you. Like, man, what a, that was crazy.
Jeez. And they did a lot of things right. Like, there was, like, tanks at this thing, and there was, you know, American flags.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, it was very manly. And it was very great, and they attracted a very masculine crowd. There was NFL players there, you know, so it was quite the environment. And the sound of rage from the men was actually encouraging to me because you could feel, you could feel them, like, receiving the rebuke. You could feel them receiving what you're talking about, the apology. That you could feel them, like, yes, okay, thank you. Because I actually got to talk to a guy
that was in the room. It was a huge elephant in the room, I'm sure. Everyone was probably sitting there like, did anyone else see that? Like, imagine going there and then waiting till, because this didn't happen till the day two.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, people went back to their hotels. Everyone's talking about it. Like, did you see that? Like, was it just me or did you see that too? So, this, like, pent up, like, kind of confusion and probably upset, like, that people had was finally, everyone was like, yes, thankfully someone's talking about this. So
I think, you know, it should have been handled differently. I think it should have been received better, and it should have been received in humility, because I think it was sent out with humility, and it felt like it was a humble heart. I get where he's coming from in the Matthew 18, coming to things in private, but that was a publicly done thing. It was done publicly. It was done in front of everybody. Yeah. It was a public display, and I think he was giving a public exhortation. And he's famous for, you know, the Jezebel spirit. He wrote a book about the Jezebel spirit. Like, this is his lane. And,
we're not shocked.
I think he hit it, and I think he hit the nail on the head. I think it was something that needed to get called out. And I think it's Springfield, Missouri is where this event happened. So not far from either of us, right between Bible both of belt. Us actually, right in the middle of the Bible Belt. And I think as men, as alpha dads, I think we're called to a higher standard. I think if the cliff's edge is over there, how far do you want to be from it? You know, I one of my personal rules, I don't go to coffee. I run businesses. I don't go to coffee. I don't have private one-on-one meetings in private with a woman because I'm a married man. And I would never ride in a car one-on-one with another woman because I am a married man. That's an edge. I don't even want to have the perception of something going wrong. Because if somebody saw me having coffee
reputation.
And I'm doing this business presentation to a one-on-one person, and, you know, somebody else saw it and comes to my wife before I've ever,
weird.
You know, it'd be weird. I just don't do it. I don't even want the perception of something bad. And so if you have to justify it, if you have to give exclamations for it, if you have to write articles on why it was a good idea afterwards, it probably wasn't a good idea. And I think that's where that's come to. I think as men, as alpha dads, this is a struggle for our generation right now. You know, LGBTQ is a thing that we are fighting against. It's an ideological warfare that we are in. Mm-hmm. I think we should be so far from the appearance of evil that it's not even in question. I think the tanks are great. I think have fun. I think have mariachi bands. I think have llamas. I think have helicopters at your conferences. And again, you can come to our business conference in June and see what that's really supposed to feel like. But especially at a Christian men's conference, it should have looked different, should have felt different. So, Andrew, let's change gears here a little bit. Let's do something a little more funny. Let's do one more reaction to finish up the day.
Let's do it.
I'm a very, like, consistent man.
consistent.
You know, like every morning, my alarm, it goes up at 6 a.m. You
know? Mm.
What's the first thing I do?
Sleep it in.
I snooze.
I snooze.
Because it's a little bit early, I'm tired, you know. But what happens, the alarm, it comes back at 6
a.m. Yeah.
But me,
I'm consistent. I'm consistent.
So I snooze again. 7:30, wow. I snooze. 9:30, I snooze. 10:30, I snooze. Yes, I'm late for work. Yes, I'm going to lose my job. Yes, but I'm consistent.
I'm consistent.
I'm sleeping and oh, I'm going to wake up in the natural way of life. Because, I smell a croissant.
Okay, croissant.
I'm hungry, I go downstairs. This is how you wake up. Not because an alarm told you to do. No, no.
Wow, super moves there, super moves to reach poverty as quick as possible is what that was. You know, so if you're on the path to success, then watch that video again if your goal is poverty.
If your goal is poverty, he is fast track. It's a motivational speech for poverty.
That's right. It just depends on what your goals are here.
That was cracking me up, though. He's like, at least I'm consistent, you know.
Consistent.
I think obviously the guy's a comedian. He was joking and stuff, but it's amazing. You know, motivational music. You're like, oh wow, what's he saying? Like, I was tuned in. I was like, oh my gosh, she's snooze. I'm consistent. I hit snooze. 7:30. I hit snooze. I wake up to the croissant because that is the way of life. I'm like, that was
the man wakes up. Yeah,
Andrew, what time do you wake up in the morning, man? And do you hit the snooze button?
I have my alarm set for about 3:45. Then I snooze it. About 3:45, 5:00, or 3:50, and I have to be out of bed by 4. Has to be out of bed by 4.
You give yourself a 15-minute wake up period. That's good.
Yep. And I typically grab my phone, try to just start going through emails or whatever. I'm like, all right, I got to go to work, and then get up, and then get in the shower. And that's the thing. Like, I don't like people think it's like, oh, you get up at 4 a.m. and you're like just ready to go. No, I'm like, look at my phone, answer some emails, delete some emails, and I'm like, ah, crap, I got to get up. And I get up. Like, it's not what you necessarily want to do; it's what you have to do. So we're not waking up at 4 a.m. You know. We're this man for like 5 minutes in the morning, and then we put on our real, you know, alpha dad hats and go to work.
Decide to be different. Decide to be strong. I actually have an alarm clock. It's a it like lights up the whole room. It's a circle alarm. I put my phone downstairs so it's far away from me at night, because otherwise if I wake up in the morning and like I see my phone first thing, I'm gonna get on it. So I put my phone is actually downstairs on another level of my house.
Wow. Yeah.
And I have this alarm clock, and it lights up the whole room. That's really helped me, but it's far away. So I can't hit the snooze button anymore. But there was a season where I used to hit the snooze a lot. We called it our snuggle, the snuggle button, because every time the alarm would go off the first time, oh, that's my alarm clock right there. Lights up the whole room.
Look at that.
And it looks like daylight.
I think my part of my alarm clock is my wife, because if I don't like turn off the alarm quick enough, I get kicked so hard. Like, I'm like, okay. And then like, then I'm up. So typically I wake up through pain is typically how I wake up. So that's kind of our flow.
It's painful to wake up. But we used to call it our snuggle button because you go off and I'd be like, all right, 15 minutes of snuggle time before the alarm goes back off. And I get to snuggle with my wife. It's kind of our cuddle time in the morning. And got to do that. But man,
mine's different. I don't have that.
I'm up way too early now. Yeah. My wife's closer to going to bed at the time that I'm getting up. So it's a little inverted.
High five on the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But be consistent. It's important to be consistent.
Have to.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Alpha Dad Show. I hope you enjoyed that. Go to alphadadshow.com. You can get your own copy of the Boom Book.
And go check us out on Instagram. We've got a new show here, a new Instagram account. We're uploading daily success tips, daily motivation, daily content on that Instagram. And you can learn a lot. You can share it with people that you know that might need to see some of this content. And we would love to get more information from you guys, more reels to react to, more videos to react to, and questions that you want answers to, or you want to see our take on or our opinion on, or some of the successful people that we're interviewing, their take on these things as well. So go check it out on Instagram. It is Alpha Dad Show, and give it a follow.
And then go to thrivetimeshow.com. You know, come to a business conference. You get to meet Andrew and I. Andrew, are you going to be there in June at the business conference with Tim Tebow?
I'm going to be there. Absolutely.
So if you want to meet some Alpha Dads, if you want to meet Tim Tebow, if you want to meet Clay Clark, if you want to meet a bunch of the people we've had on the show before, come out in June to that business conference, and you can get tickets at thrivetimeshow.com. And guys, we will see you next week on the Alpha Dad Show.